We're in our series for 3 weeks. This is the second of this three-week series, and I'll stop it next Sunday on Mother's Day. Then we'll pick it up again in September, the good Lord willing. And we're entitling it, Let the Children Come, which goes along with our whole theme with regards to building a new children's facility for our family here. We're going to look this morning at Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read verses 9 through 13. I want us to talk about, from God's Word, about raising a child right. Raising a child right. So let me just start there with the Word, and let's lay the groundwork and the foundation. I'm gonna go back up a little bit. Go back up to verse 5, if you will. Jesus, of course, is directing us here, speaking about prayer. And he says, when you pray, you are not to be like hypocritical praying people, because hypocritical praying people love to stand and to pray in the gatherings, in the synagogue, and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men and heard as well. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. In other words, just people being amazed at how verbose they are and how well they word their prayers. God said, that's all that's happening, because nothing else is happening by their prayer time. But you, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, you are to pray in such a way that the only thing that is on our mind is touching Him. We do not pray for the benefit of somebody else's ears. We do not pray for any other reason except to reach out and to touch the Father. God who sees in secret, the God who cannot be seen, says, when you talk to me, get in a place where you cannot be seen and pray to me. Because prayer is all about you and me together. And then he says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. So you don't have to worry about whether or not your prayer is really intelligible. God says, I already know. That's good news, isn't it? And then he says, so when you pray, pray like this. Pray, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us as we have forgiven. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So what does God want us to teach our children and our grandchildren? Well, let me just begin here, because today is all about kids. It's one of the things we're focusing on. We're in a time in our family, and we have been for years, by the grace and the mercy and the favor of God. We've been in years of expansion, and we've also been in times during that of facility expansion. And we've reached a place where available room, with the addition of each new family that comes in with children from birth to fifth grade, available room is gradually disappearing. And our need to build, and I want you to understand this, our need to build is not critical. So I'm going to be upfront with you. But the reality is you can't wait until it is critical to start talking about building. You're already behind the eight ball. Your building will tell you whether or not people can come. And you can't do that. And at the end of today's message, it's going to be an opportunity, as we've been talking about for the last several weeks, for you as a member of our family to vote on the proposed building plan for a new children's facility. Now, to vote, number one, you must be a church member, not an attender, but a member. And then number two, you must be at least 18 years of age or older by vote of the church in order to obligate the church financially. So you have to be at least 18. And then the results of the ballots will be made known after all three worship services. And we will announce it this afternoon by text on your iPhone, as well as on the church's Facebook page. Now, if you are not signed up to receive texts from us and little messages to keep you up with what's going on, you can write this down maybe on your bulletin. You can text the word connect to this number, 936-298-7270. 936-298-7270. Just text the word connect and you will again then be receiving the text messages from our church family. All right, so let's just get into God's Word, all right? This morning, what I want to do is I want to recap just a little bit from last week and just kind of bring everybody up to speed so we're on the same page. If you're looking at your life point outline, let me start with this truth that God wants us to understand. The key to being blessed by heaven is when a family has a biblical foundation from which they operate and live out their lives. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. A biblical foundation doesn't mean that you come to worship. That is not indicative on its own of a biblical foundation. A biblical foundation is not only worship, that worship is a regular part of your life. You gather together. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So one of God's plans is that His family will gather together physically once every 7 days. And He says, don't forsake that. And so that is part of me walking with Him, that I, as a leader in my home, I will lead my wife, I will lead my children to worship the Lord once every 7 days. I'm going to bring them to some place like this. But it isn't just worship. It means that that worship is sandwiched between, on each end, the daily living by my family of the things that pertain to the Lord, that my family chases after Him. Now, let me let you hear what God says. In the book of Hosea, and we talked about this last week, and you go back and get that message. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people, God says, my people are being destroyed. Why? Because they don't know me. Now, being destroyed means that families are falling apart. Would you agree with me that we see professing Christian families disintegrating? Do we not? That is not a sign of the favor of God. Would you agree with that? And we have to own it. We have to own that. We can't act like nothing is wrong here. And when you see professing Christian families falling apart, families getting blowing up, people leaving each other, because family leadership doesn't know God or live out God's ways. You just need to call it what it is. American culture is falling apart around us because the influencers of culture and massive amounts of American leaders don't know God. They don't know Him. And showing up for worship once every 8 or 10 weeks is not indicative of knowing the God who is God. That means He's not that much of a part of my life. I'm just using Him as fire insurance. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, since you have forgotten the laws of your God, listen, I will forget to bless your children. That ought to make you tremble. That is huge, beloved. And what God is saying, he's saying, John, let me tell you something. I don't care if you're my preacher or what. If you do not ingrain in your children biblical instruction, if you do not teach your boys about me, if you do not honor me, if my word does not influence the behavior of your life, if it cannot be seen by people around you that the ways of God are reflected in your marriage with your wife, Catherine, and in your relationship with men and women around you, if in these ways you show to the world you are forgetting me, even though you claim to know me, I will forget your children and my blessings will not fall on the prodigy that comes from your body. And so if I want those who come after me to be blessed, God says it is determined by how I live today, right now. There is no better reason to chase after him who is holy than to be thinking about your great-grandchildren. Because you and I can touch our great-grandkids. We can touch them. And we can command the blessing of God on the children of our children's children. Is that not good news? We can touch them. And it is how we live today. Psalm 78, verse 5. God commanded our forefathers to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even children yet to be born. That's the grandkids, who in turn would tell their children. That's the great-grandkids. So there's four generations right there in Psalm 78, 5 and 6. And so here's the truth. We can influence our great-grandchildren yet to be born by what we do and teach today. So I know there's some of you, maybe you don't come from a godly heritage. What God is saying here in the Word is you can start your heritage today. It can start with you. And so dad, mom, single parent, you can say, Father, my family from this day forward, by your help and your strength, with you helping me, I will have a godly family. I will seek to influence those who come from me and come after me. I will do everything I can to love them to you and to teach them how to follow you. So here's the insight. More important than leaving a will for your family is leaving a legacy of godliness. You want to leave a legacy. More important than financial success or a business is the family that we leave behind. What is the condition of your family? So let me give you eight truths. Now, don't be scared about that because I'm not going to deep dive in it. I can't. But I'm going to give you eight things that are right out of this prayer that Jesus taught us. Eight things that we need to teach our children. If I'm going to raise kids right, if you're going to raise your child right, there are eight things you need to teach them about God. All right, what are they? Number one, teach your child God wants a relationship with them. Your child needs to know God wants a relationship. Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus didn't say we're to pray our Creator, although he is that, right? He is our Creator. But we are to pray our Father. Why? Jesus said the God who is God, who made everything, wants to be known by Father. That's how he wants to be known. He is so much more. But he says, I want you to know me as Father. And there are four attributes I want to give you about God as Father. All right? Number one, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says that God is caring. He is a caring Father. Cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. You want your child to know God cares for you. He does. That's the God who is. Number two, Hebrews 13 and 5 says, God is close. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. My children and my grandkids need to know God is close. He cares for them and he's close. Malachi 3 verse 6 teaches us that God is consistent. Isn't it good news that God's not moody? Aren't you glad the God who has all power doesn't wake up in a bad mood? Because he never wakes up. He doesn't have to sleep, but be that as it may. God is consistent. For I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you are not already utterly destroyed, for my mercy endures forever. God is a merciful Father. Say amen. Isn't that good news? It is. And in Luke 1:37 says, God is capable, for nothing shall be impossible with God. You see, what God is saying is that children, when they grow up, they need to know that there is a God who cares for them. And one of the reasons is because children today are growing up in a world where they're learning by experience that their earthly fathers don't care for them. That is the experience of a huge number of kids, and maybe some of you that are here this morning. In the latest polls that was done, 25% of all white kids grow up without the presence of a father in the home. 55% of all Hispanic kids and 75% of all black kids grow up without the presence of a dad in the home. You're talking about decimating a child's character and how they feel about themselves when the leader of the home doesn't care enough about them to even be physically present. No wonder there are so many adults that have a hard time relating to God as Father. Does that make sense? And so we got to teach them about God. So the truth in your outline, God as a Father is the antidote to the number one problem for kids today. You know what that is? It's insecurity. Number one problem is insecurity. Our society is built on competition, competing. Children learn at such an early age to compare themselves to all the other kids. They compare themselves based on their hair, on their clothes, their appearance, their academic achievement, their athletic ability. All over the board, they are being compared and challenged in that way. And here's the insight. In a school of 1,000, only one can be valedictorian. And if a child isn't settled in God's love, they're going to battle inferiority. If they don't understand, I'm okay. You know why? Because God loves me. And I don't have to be valedictorian of the class to be a success in life. There's a lot of valedictorians today that are on Skid Row. All right? There's a lot of PhDs on Skid Row. Why? Because academic achievement and all the other achievements doesn't matter if you don't have God in your life giving you wisdom. All right? And so number two, we need to teach our children God's name deserves honor. That they need to honor the name of God. Why? Because every name of God talks about a benefit of God in my life and in their life. And children need to be taught, you do not misuse the name of God. God's name is not a swear word. Right, Dad? Huh? Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. God is the one who'll give you peace. Son, daughter, when life is stressed out, you've got a God who will take care of you. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. God will take care of you. You honor him. God promises you will not starve. Your children need to know that. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness. God is the one who's going to bring me home to heaven. I'm not perfect. I never will be, but my Father is, and my Father sent Christ to die on the cross for me and to give me his goodness. And so I get in on his dime. And so the Lord's Prayer says, our Father in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. Our children and grandchildren have got to learn you never, ever take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You teach them the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remind them, that is right next to you shall not kill and you shall not commit adultery. Using God's name in vain is a huge sin. And it brings the discipline of God. And how many times on TV or in conversation do you hear somebody say, my God? I want to say, you're right in the midst of a huge event of life that is scaring the bejeebers out of you, and you've just taken the name of the only one who can deliver you in vain. People use God's name as an exclamation point. Oh my God! You don't say that if you honor God. In movies all the time, you hear them say, God! God, or oh my God, or Jesus this, or Jesus that, or Jesus Christ. And if you say, well, I just don't listen to that, that doesn't bother me. It ought to bother us. That ought to really bother us to hear somebody taking the name of our God in vain. The next time you stub your toe or hit your finger with a hammer, just call out, oh, Buddha. Oh, Hare Krishna. Why? Because they're just demons. So use their name in vain, but you don't use the Lord's name in vain. Number three, teach your child God's plan is first. God's plan is first. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The truth, every child needs to know that life isn't all about them. Life doesn't revolve around little ones. And they've got to be taught that early on. Every child needs to learn they are part of the family, but they are not the center of the family. Kids need to be taught that. One of the resources I was reading said, if little Miss Princess or little Mr. Prince gets his or her way all the time, you are raising an insecure child. The reality of boundaries is instinctive in a child, yet every child will test them. Can you say amen to that? You know, where is that fence? That's what they want to know, and can it be moved? And when a parent says, nope, that's not going to happen, I don't like it, but actually it gives them a sense of security because now they know there are fences out there. And that's going to bring security to their life. And so the truth in your outline, every child needs to learn they are not the center of the universe. And so if you create a self-centered child, you always give in to them. You always give them what they want. You know what you're doing? You are dooming them to unhappiness. Why? Because your home is not a true reflection of the real world. The real world does not now, nor will it ever, live for your child. Right? They're going to find that out. They need to know God's plan is bigger than their life. History is His story, not theirs. And all of us are just a blip on a line called life. We're just a little bit. We're not very much. God's purpose, His kingdom, His will answers the big question. What are the big questions? The big questions are, why am I here? You're here because God wanted you here, my little one. Where did I come from? You came from the mind of God. And God is the one who caused you to be born from mom and dad. Where am I going? You're going to stand before the Lord God someday. All of us are going to give an account to Him. Does my life have meaning? Yes, it does. God wants you here for a particular reason. And God wants you to find that purpose. What's my purpose? That's what you're going to spend the rest of your life determining. Those are questions that are answered by your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. God has a plan for this world, and God has a plan for the life of your child and your grandchildren. And they need to know that. Number four, teach your child God can meet all their needs. Give us this day our daily bread. You notice it doesn't say give us this day our annual or our monthly bread. It says give us this day our what bread? Daily bread. Here's the truth. Biblical parenting leads a child from dependence on the parent to independence. Lord, have mercy. You want them to leave at some point. Right? Hello? The goal of life is not for them to stay home forever. Go. Flap your wings. Fly, little one. Fly. Right? Yes. So you teach them, first of all, that you want to lead them from dependence on you to independence. You need to teach them that. Then to dependence on God. So here's the insight. Daily dependence on God is the antidote to worry. And the easiest way for my child to leave my home is to know that the God who provided for them through me, that same God will be with them now and will help them live life. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to relax in my care. I am able to meet every need, not every want, but I am able to meet every need of your life. And so that means we let our children sometimes learn to pray for what they want. We've got to resist the thing of always reaching in our wallet and pulling out the money to meet a child's need. They need to learn at some point, you know, you ought to ask God to supply that. Ask the Father. Learn to do that. And then number five, teach your child God's forgiveness comes to forgivers. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here's the truth. Your child is going to hurt others, and they're going to be hurt by others. So that means my children and my grandkids are going to feel guilt for what they've done to other people, and they're going to have to battle resentment because of what people did to them. That's going to happen. So here's a counter truth in your notes. Our children need to learn to ask forgiveness and give forgiveness. And the best way for them to learn that is to see it in me and to see it in you. To see forgiveness in you and me. And all of our parenting, would you agree with me? Because I know it's true in my life. In all of our parenting, there have been those times we knew we were wrong. And our kids knew we were wrong. Would you agree with that? Amen. The question is this. Did we admit it? Did we admit we were wrong? And did we ask our children to forgive us? In other words, did our children see us model asking and giving forgiveness? Because that's how they catch it. They catch it by our model. So that's the question that I just answered. Has your child ever seen you model asking and giving forgiveness? And why is this important? The truth, the greatest problems in your child's life are not financial or intellectual, they're relational. That is the biggest problem that our kids will have in their life is relational. Relational. Getting along with other people. That means our kids have got to learn to accept forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, and offer forgiveness. They've got to learn to do that. And they should see it in us. And then number six, teach our children God can help them live right. Lead us not into temptation, the Lord says. God says, I want you to teach your son, your daughter, about my protection in their life. I want them to know I can protect them. And the Bible says there are three basic temptations that come from hell. Ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has used these three temptations. You know, one of the encouraging things to me about Lucifer is he's not very smart. Now, let me just say that. He has three basic temptations and they never change. Now, I'm not saying he's not wily, but they all follow under this. And that's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says there are three styles of temptations that Satan always follows. Number one is the lust of the flesh, and that's hedonism. And that simply means if it feels good, do it. And that's the society we live in. That's the society my grandkids and my great-grandkids are going to grow up in. Where people are saying, you know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Is that not a crazy statement? And people say that all the time. You do what feels good. Just go with it. You know, sex is nothing more than a biological event in your life. That's all it is. Yeah, that's all it is if you're an animal. But that's not all it is if you are a human being, right? Right. It's a lot more than that. Then there's lust of the eyes. And that's materialism. I see it, I want it. That's greed. Satan doesn't have to work very hard today on that. Would you agree with that? Right. There's one reason why. You know what it is? Catalogs. I think we throw away catalogs about like that, you know, in a month. And I'm like, where are these people coming from? And how did they find me? And they know where you are. And it's just like all this stuff. And so it just breeds greed. And then number three is pride of life. And that is secularism. That is when I have made my own way. I don't need anybody. That's a pride of life. Arrogance. Not realizing that everything we have comes from Him. And so how does God... See, I'm going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. How does God help me deal with temptation? Well, the main problem that a lot of us and even our kids will have is that when we're tempted, we already assume we have sinned against God. And that is wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will provide also a way out. Now, what has God just said? This is the truth in your outline. God has just said temptation isn't a sin. I cannot control the thoughts that come into my head, and neither can you. I am a broken man. I'm broken. I'm marred. And so are you. I cannot control the thoughts that come in my head, but I can control whether or not I let them stay there. I can control whether or not I act on it. And I want you to understand this. Just because you're attracted to something doesn't mean that you have sinned. Just because attraction is uncontrollable. Arousal is uncontrollable. It is what you do with it that is important in the eyes of God. Why? We're broken. We are sinners. We are sin creatures, right? Sin is in us. A guy can be attracted to another man's wife or to another man, as in our day. But attraction and arousal are not sins. Sin is when I yield. Sin is when I act upon what is going on between my ears. To have it between my ears, I have not sinned. God is saying, what are you going to do with it now? And God says, I will not let you be tempted. You're going to be tempted. But I will not let you be tempted that you cannot get away from it. So when your teenager comes in and says, Mom, Dad, I couldn't help myself, they're not telling the truth. Because God always provides a way out. They just chose not to take it, right? And the same way with us. Number 7, teach your child, God will protect them from evil. Deliver us from evil. And let me tell you something. Evil people can get to my kids, my grandkids, and to yours right now. How? The internet, television, movies. They can teach them all kinds of things to mess up their minds. And the moment your kids and my kids head off to school, we don't control a huge portion of their time, right? We don't, because they're out and all of that. We can't, but there is a God in heaven who can. What's out of our control isn't out of His. And so what God is saying is we need to be praying like crazy as parents and grandparents every day for our children. What? That God will deliver them from evil. That He will deliver them. Because they're going to be out from under your watch care. And so we want God to be with them. And then number 8, finally, teach your child there's more later than now. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And the truth is, the biggest problem in our society today is short-term thinking. A major family teaching point is this. Understand, son, daughter, life here isn't all there is. We will spend a whole lot more time on the other side than we're spending here. And isn't it true, if you're like me, life today looks bleak. I get really concerned about the world my grandkids are growing up in and what's going to come with my great-grandchildren when Catherine and I have gone on to be with the Lord. Life looks bleak and dark. The world more and more is unsafe for our kids. Would you agree with that? It's an unsafe place than when you and I were kids. So here's the truth, though. God is in control, and in times of need, God is our supply. He's our supply. He always has been. So let me give you a battle plan. I want to close with this. And it is a verse that I want to challenge you to just put it into your memory when you're feeling overwhelmed by life and when we feel like life is bigger than what I can take and what I can handle. And it's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. Deep in my heart, I say, what is it I say down in my heart? The Lord is all I need. I can depend on Him. Isn't that a good word? Let's say that together, would you? Deep in my heart, I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on Him. So what I want to do right now, you've got kids, you've got grandkids, maybe you've already got great-grandchildren, and you want the blessing of the Lord to pass on them. I want us to just bow our heads for just a moment, because I don't want you to do any of this because of thinking about somebody else seeing you or thinking about whatever if you don't stand. But right now, with all heads bowed, if the desire of your heart is you want to pray for your kids, for your grandkids, for your great-grandchildren yet to be born, or even for your grandkids yet to be born, I want to ask you just to quietly stand wherever you are right now, that, Lord, I want to stand in behalf of them because I want to be a grandparent through whom the blessings of the Lord can come to my family. And so let's just pray together. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the word. God, thank you for this, for what you've taught us in the Lord's Prayer about who you are and how important it is for us to teach our children and our grandchildren to take week by week each of these things from the Lord's Prayer and to put them in the hearts of our kids, that it will be passed to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Lord, this would be the thing that would be taught in our family for generations to come, that we would have a prodigy that would chase after the Lord, that the heritage for us would be a family that always followed after Him and served Him. And so, Father, thank you today for what you've taught us now in the Word. Thank you. We leave here today with hope in our hearts of truth and a way to teach our children for the generation to come, that your favor will be on us for generations. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.